I'd like, if you would please turn with me now, first of all for a brief Bible reading from the second epistle of Peter and the first chapter of that second epistle. The second epistle of Peter and the chapter 1. Then we'll be turning back to the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. But first let me read to you just a few verses from this first chapter of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied with you, unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn, please, now to 2 Corinthians, the chapter 13, and there we have the text that I would wish to lay before you today. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 13, and it's the verse 5 that I want to examine with you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Let's just bow for a brief word of prayer. Father, we come to thy precious word, and we do so, Lord, with trembling. For, O God, there is not within us any strength or power or might or ability or understanding that would enable us to minister this precious word to those gathered here today. But, O God, we pray for the help and the grace of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee, Lord, already for thy presence amongst us, for the hymns of praise that have been sung, and for that ministry and song, Lord, when we were brought to the cross and reminded of our Savior's great love, great faithfulness, and the great sufferings that he bore, and the triumph that he accomplished on Calvary for his people. Oh God, may we know the power of the cross in our midst today, as we bring this word. Help us now. Pour thy Spirit upon us all here. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Could I read that verse again, that text? It is so full of solemn truths. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Self-examination. A most appropriate topic on this, our communion Sabbath. For all who draw near to the table are commanded by the Lord to examine themselves. But our text is calling for an examination that all, no matter what they're standing before the Lord, should engage in. The pure-hearted fear no examination. They have that blessed peace, knowing that their sins, for Christ's sake, have been forgiven. They know that the blood has covered their sins, and that God no longer deems them to be guilty. Indeed, self-examination for the child of God is a joy. A joy. A rediscovering. A renewing afresh of that blessed realization of what took place when they came to Jesus as a sinner. In Romans, the chapter 8, the truth is set forth there in a glorious and triumphant fashion. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. On the other hand, a self-examination is something that the sinner does not desire. One of the reasons why he avoids the preaching of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ put the matter like this in John's Gospel and the chapter 3 and the verse 20. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Men love darkness if they are yet in their sins. They do not wish the glare, the spotlight of God's truth to shine upon them. For it will expose their sins, possibly to their own gaze, and that's more troubling than any. They don't want to recognize that they're sinners, and that in God's sight they are condemned. The Word of God tells us that happy or blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Covered in the blood of Christ's atoning death. Of course, there is another covering, more popular, if I might use that phrase, amongst men, whereby sin is covered. We read in Proverbs, the chapter 28, of that covering. The verse 13 of Proverbs 28 reads, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. There is another covering, I tell you. It's not the covering of the blood of Christ, but it's the covering of self-denial, The covering of bluff and deceit. The covering of turning a blind eye to the fact that I'm a sinner. Many refuse to acknowledge that they are sinners. And find, it seems, some measure of comfort in that denial. But there is no lasting peace with such a covering of our sins. That verse 13 in Proverbs 28 says, "He that covereth sin shall not prosper." There's no prosperity in that denial. No prosperity in that covering. Because one day it will all be uncovered. And there will be a forced acknowledgement of sinfulness on the part of those that engage in such folly. So our verse is calling us to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves, to delve deeply. For this is not a casual sideways glance at ourselves, but this is a thorough, solemn looking inward. Let me just deal with the matter as simply as I can by first of all pointing out the importance of examining ourselves. It is an important matter, a very important matter. What checks and examinations we all engage in our daily affairs. And we know that if we were to neglect those checks, the consequences might be very serious. Most likely when we left our homes this morning, we gave the old doorknob a bit of a rattle just to make sure it was locked. And when we got out of the vehicle in the parking lot, well, we just did make sure it was locked. We know what might be the consequences if we were careless in these manners. And we spend our life locking things, ensuring things, guarding things, because we cannot afford to be careless about these matters. And yet, that most important of all matters, how careless men are. How careless men are about their souls. We are called upon here by this text to look at that most important of all issues, our relationship with God. How do we stand with God? The very first question in the Bible addresses that matter. The very first question asked by God. Asked by God of Adam. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Where do you stand in relationship to me? Where art thou in regards to me? And that's the question of the gospel today. That's the question of our text. Where art thou? Oh, folk don't like sermons that challenge you, that disturb you, that get a little beneath the surface. They don't like that. But you know, preaching is likened unto ploughing. And there's nothing more disturbing than ploughing. It's a turning up of the soil. A turning up of the soil and a total disruption of all that's taking place in that field. Everything that has been growing there is suddenly uprooted, turned over. And that's what preaching is like. You've got to dig the plough in. Into the heart, into the conscience, into the mind, into the soul, and turn it up. So that its hidden depths are brought to the surface and brought to the light. And I'm challenging you today, in the light of this scripture, where do you stand regarding your soul and God? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. How important this matter is then. Your soul's eternal well-being is the subject God calls upon you to look at today. This is no casual matter. All people phone us up all the time, don't they? And they want to discuss with us double glazing, winter draft exclusion, this, that, and the other, and we hastily bring the conversation to an end because usually it's not really a vital matter. But this is something that is vital. This is something that cannot be tossed aside, ignored, or left to another day. Where do we stand with God? Mark chapter 8, the verse 36. Very famous text. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know you can lose your soul. You can lose your soul. That is, you can so treat your soul with carelessness, indifference, so as to bring it to everlasting ruin. The gospel calls upon you to look into the matter of your soul's salvation. Heed the gospel. The gospel that tells us of the wonderful means that God has provided, whereby the soul of the sinner may be saved for all eternity. And the one who ignores the gospel and is careless regarding the gospel, they lose their soul by not attending to the matter of its salvation. Examine yourself. This is an examination about the most vital of all matters in your life. We must examine ourselves in the light of God's word, because there is much today that sadly passes as Christianity when it's not. If I were to examine myself in the light of my own understanding, I'd come out pretty well. But it's a different matter when you examine yourself in the light of God's word. I always think of many, many, many years ago as a young preacher calling to see an old fellow who lived in the other side of the mountain. And when I finally got him to come to the door, he looked out at me from the gloom within, and his face was as black as coal. He invited me in when he saw who it was, and we sat down in a very darkened room. To start with, the windows weren't very big and there weren't very many of them, and he had some sort of a cloth hanging out over them. I was a little puzzled about the black face, but you know, as we sat there and we sat either side of a little fire, he reached into a bucket where there was coal, and he, with his hand, threw coal onto the fire and then rubbed his face, and that answered the question as to why his face was black. But he was sitting in a dark old room. I don't know if there was a mirror in the room, but if there was a mirror in the room and he took an occasional look at himself, he could hardly have seen the blackness in the dullness of that room, in the gloom of that room. If you look at yourself in the dim, dim light of your own understanding, you'll look pretty good. You'll come up all right. You'll not see too many blemishes. But listen, if you look at yourself in the light of God's precious word, it's a different story. I saw a different countenance from the countenance that old fellow saw, because I was looking at him in the light of the sunshine. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that sinneth not. And in the light of that, my friend, we are condemned. We are condemned as sinners. We need to examine ourselves in the light of God's precious word. It's so vital that we do that because, you see, many are entertaining the idea that they really are all right. That they'll do fine. That they will get into heaven. Of that there's no doubts. Only to discover on that great day how wrong they were. Matthew chapter 7, the verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a divergence of opinion here between these people of themselves and the opinion that the Lord had of them. They were able to list a whole lot of things that they felt stood in their favor. The Savior dismissed every one of those claims by saying, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There is a need for us to examine ourselves because we can be deceived about the matter of how we stand before God. We must examine ourselves in the light of God's Word and see that our standing meets the requirements of God's precious Word. If we are mistaken, now is the only opportunity we have of putting the matter right. That's why we're called upon now to examine ourselves. Because, as I say, if we make a mistake and we discover on that great day of the Lord that we were mistaken, it's too late then. Oh, it's too late then. The Bible doesn't teach that there's a purgatory in which men can put right the failings of this life and sort of catch up and top up and finally come out of purgatory acceptable for heaven. There's no such place. There's no such scheme. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, how important it is, therefore, for us to examine ourselves now and see if we be in Christ. Quickly, consider with me, secondly, what it is we're to look for in this examination. What exactly are we to seek out? Well, look at the verse. Look at the verse. We're going to be guided by the Word of God. We're not going to be guided by my notions or my views or my theories. We're going to be guided by the Word of God in this examination. And what does this text tell us? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. That's what we're going to look at. Are we in the faith? It's not a question of, are you in church? Are you in the membership of a church? No, that's not what's being required of us. That's not what's being required of us. A lot of people get by with that. Indeed, sadly, a lot of ministers, so-called, encourage their people to believe that that's all that's needed. You attend church. You give to the church funds. You turn up at Christmas time, and we surely see you at Easter time, and maybe a little in between. That's all right then. But that's not what the Lord's talking about here, my friends. No matter how many may be deceived about that, and this city is full of people deceived about this matter. Oh, that we could take them and come to close quarters with them and tell them, this is not enough. No matter who it is that tells you it is, it's not enough. This is not a question of, are you in the church? Are you on the church roll? Are you in Christ? That's what we are being challenged about here. Being in the faith. Have you entered into Christ by faith? That's what the phrase means. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 17, more or less explains it for us. Famous verse, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold all things are become new. That's what's being challenged here, that's what's being asked here. You're in the faith when you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in the faith. John chapter 1 and the verse 11. Oh, how wonderful these words are, speaking of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's go back to verse 10. John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, we understand what that means. The Lord Jesus was rejected by the nation of Israel. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here's what it is to be a Christian, my friend. Here's what it is to be in the faith, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to embrace him by faith. To embrace him by faith. When that happens, you have the authority of God to call yourself a son of God. You have God's authority to call yourself a son of God. The Lord Jesus, from that moment, dwells in your heart by faith. How wonderful it is. Now, with Christ within, there are evidences. There are evidences. I spoke last Lord's Day evening on Lazarus and his resurrection. There was nobody doubted that a resurrection had taken place. Lazarus came forth. He was alive. He was walking. He was talking. He wasn't what he had been but a moment before, a stinking corpse. Gone was the corruption. Gone was death and its power. He was alive. Well, when a sinner receives Jesus Christ, there's evidence. See, that's what the Apostle Paul means here in this verse when he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. There's none of us but engage a little in medical science. If it's only to stick out our tongue and look at it in the mirror, or to feel our head if we maybe are running a bit of a temperature, or pull down our eyes to see if they appear to have a proper blood supply and are not pale, we're proving. We're looking for signs. We're looking for evidences. Well, in the spiritual realm, it's just the same. If any man, remember that verse we looked at, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah. It's a glorious thing to be saved. It's a glorious thing. I look back to what I was. I look back to what I was. And then I think of what Christ has done for me. And I feel like singing, only I will not abuse your ears by attempting it. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, it makes a change. He makes a wonderful change. A change as radical, as glorious, as wonderful Aye, more so than that which resulted in the resurrection of Lazarus. Paul the Apostle said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a new life at work in the soul of the person who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just no denying of it. There's no denying of it. We can say with the blind man, once I was blind, but now I see. And that's the radical change. And here's the proof. If we examine ourselves and we are in Christ, then there's going to be evidences. Tell me, are there those evidences in your life? Are there real, lasting evidences that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus? Furthermore, if we're in the faith, if we're born again, if we've received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, there not only will be evidences in our life, but we will have the witness of the Spirit of God within us that we're saved. We can call up the witness of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit witnesseth with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, in all honesty now, have you that witness within your heart? Or rather, is it the case that even as I'm speaking to you now, there's another voice that says, you know you're not saved, and it's the voice of conscience. There is no witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart because you're not in Christ. Oh, if that is the case today, my friend, I ask you to take note of that and to act in the light of the gospel. Because, and here we conclude our message, if you are not in Christ, our text here tells you plainly what you are. You see, there's only one of two conditions that you are in. You're either in faith, or as our text says, you're a reprobate. You're either in Christ or you're not. No matter what you may claim or what you may assume, if you're not in Christ, then Paul says you're a reprobate. Let me read the verse to you, lest you think I'm making assertions here that I don't really have support for. Listen to the verse. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. If you can't find proof of Christ being in you, then you're a reprobate. That word reprobate, it refers to that which is false. Actually, it was employed in the Greek language primarily to speak of false coins, counterfeit coins. What do you do with a counterfeit coin? You cast it away. And this word is, therefore, given the meaning of a castaway. A castaway. That which is not genuine. That which is not real. And if you're not in Christ, my dear friend, then you're not really saved. And you'll be cast away. Oh, how solemn is this matter that I'm pleading with you over. Spurners of God's mercies will be cast away. For they have cast away God's mercy. They have cast away God's grace. And they in turn, in consequence, will be cast away. I might put it like this. The Christian's testimony is very simply this. Our past We were out of Christ, outside of Christ. We were lost. Our present, we're in Christ. There are folk here. They can look back to a time when they were out of Christ. They were outside of Christ. But then wonderfully God called them, and they came as a sinner to Jesus. And they fell at his feet and they received him, just like the thief on the cross, as the king of their lives, as their saviour. And they were in him. They were in him. Our past, our present. Now what about our future? Well, the future of the child of God is to be with Christ. With Christ. We were once out of him. Then wonderfully we were brought to him. And we were in him. And one day we will be with him. With him. What a glorious thought. What a glorious thought. We will be with Jesus. With the Saviour. We shall see him as he is. See him in all his glory. That's our hope. But that is not the hope of anyone who is not in Christ. That's why this is so vital. For you to have a long look at yourself. We're bombarded with advice from doctors about what we should look out for. Symptoms of common diseases. And I think you'll agree with me that only the foolish take no heed to those things. Well, here's a matter more important than for you to discover any earthly disease at work in your body. How stand you with Christ? Will you examine yourself? Aye, maybe even now you're standing in the light of God's word and you know how it is with you. You know you're not saved. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Will you heed his call? Will you come as a sinner to Jesus? Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Or that Christ Jesus is in you, except if he's not in you, ye be reprobates. Oh, may God apply his word with power to your heart today.